Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Insights for Health. My name is Dave, and our topic today is immune health, proactive and reactive. And joining us is Brianna Lutz. Brianna is a naturopathic doctor and registered herbalist with a special interest in women's health and hormones. Having an expertise in botanical medicine, she educates on the clinical application of herbs as a medical consultant for St. Francis Herb Farm. Good morning, doctor, and welcome to Insights for Health.
Great. Thank you for having me here.
I've read this statement, and it goes like this. After months and months of social distancing, masking, isolating, and hand washing, our immune systems are out of practice due to lack of typical exposure. What are your thoughts on that, doctor?
So I think while a lot of those recommendations were helpful to prevent, obviously, spread of more serious infections, that this lack of exposure to, you know, super common viruses, different types of bacteria on other people or surfaces, without this, we've actually haven't been challenging our immune system. And part of that challenge to our immune system is how we support the strength and diversification of our immune system, kind of its robustness, and also how we recruit different immune cells or how we have more efficiency of action. And we'll talk a bit more about the immune system later, but it's also building a memory to these various bacteria or viruses or any these types of infections or exposures, even if they're similar but not quite exactly the same, that our immune system is remembering that. And when we're able to remember those viruses and various infections, then our immune system can create a more effective immune response in the future. So also with some of the cleaning recommendations, I think there is potentially a thing as too clean for like our environment. You know, some of those like kills 99.9% of bacteria, where yes, it's important for cleaning different surfaces or killing off like non-beneficial or pathogenic different bacteria or viruses, but it can also have an effect on our microbiome or our natural bacteria on our skin or within our system. That is also kind of a key crucial component of our immune system. So I think all of that has left us more susceptible to even more common or basic colds and flus. And I'd say this is probably the worst cold and flu season that I've seen in my career.
And it's probably for that reason.
Contributing cause for sure.
Yeah. So I would tend to think that children would probably have the greater negative response, let's say.
Yeah, definitely a greater susceptibility to these infections. And I think it's because their immune systems are still young, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is a huge phase of growth for their immune systems. And you kind of think about, we kind of joke and call it daycare-itis, or like the little sniffles that they would get, you know, throughout elementary school, and building the support of their immune system, or building the breadth of their immune system as well. So definitely, I think they're more susceptible because their immune system is still so young.
So there's a lot of layers to the immune system, isn't there?
Mm-hmm, there sure is.
There's what they call an innate system and an adaptive system. Can you break that down in layman's terms?
Yeah, you bet. So the immune system is incredibly complex. So what I like to do is break it into those two different categories. So the innate and the adaptive. So the innate immune system is actually the immune system that you're born with. Physicians, scientists have said that that's established at the moment of birth, because it used to be thought that the uterine environment was completely sterile. But we're learning more and more that we have some components that are starting to develop this innate immune system actually in utero. And then in the early minutes, hours, days, weeks of life, we're starting to create more of that innate immune system through like either vaginal delivery or skin to skin, or breastfeeding or nursing can be a component as well. And the innate immune system is more of our general immune system. So this allows us to react to kind of any infection, regardless of the origin. And it's also very fast acting. This is more of a preventative component of our immune system, or sometimes we like to call it like our deep immune system. And again, this is nonspecific, fast acting, and involves different immune cells comparatively to our adaptive immune system. The innate immune system, as part of, again, that general or fast-acting component, will include things like our skin or our mucous membranes and saliva and stomach acid. Fever is also a response of the innate immune system as well. And again, it's looking to have that fast-acting effect on infections. So our adaptive immune system is something that we're developing a little bit later on in our childhood. So this is starting to develop or looking to be complete between 18 months and 2 years, where we're looking to have like a fully kind of realized or developed immune system by that 2 years. Now, this is a learned response, and this is a slower response as well for the immune system, but it's also more specific. So we're looking at, again, specific components of the immune system that are looking to actually be built, like different cells. So part of our T cells that, again, are a bit more specific or responsive to certain types of infections. But one of the especially supportive things of this adaptive component is what we call like memory cells. So when we are exposed to different infections, we create antibodies or different components that are reactive to that infection, to that pathogen. And then our immune cells, specifically like T memory cells, are looking to remember that infection. So if we are infected with that in the future, that we can create an expedited, more specific, and more effective response. And I think that these aren't necessarily mutually exclusive. Like there's some crossover between these two systems and the immune cells that are involved. So the innate immune system will definitely be things like macrophages. I call them like the little Roombas of the immune system that circulate and garble up pathogens or infections. There's also adaptive immune system. We're seeing things like B cells, and these are things that are making those antigens. And we're seeing a lot of like different T cells and components within that adaptive immune system response. But again, not totally mutually exclusive. You'll have some immune cells that work in both phases or both components of the immune system.
Yeah. St. Francis Herb Farm has a product called Deep Immune, and it's considered to be Canada's number one immune tonic. What makes that so effective? Now, you had said that the innate system is our deep immune, naturally within the body. But this product name is Deep Immune. Is that working together in that layer of immunity?
Yes, it was very intentional. Yeah, because even when we look at like herbal medicine specifically, we look at different herbal categories that work on deep immune stimulation or surface immune stimulation. And so that innate immune system or deep immune system is where the deep immune product is actually working on. So this is definitely geared towards our proactive or our innate immune system. So really looking to strengthen that innate immune system, but also provide balance to that immune system as well, because we don't want an overreactive or underreactive immune system. We want, I call it the Goldilocks reaction, right? So we have a nice, neutral, balanced immune system, because I think a lot of that strength of the immune system comes from that balance. And what makes it effective are adaptogenic herbs that work on the immune system.
When you're talking about balance, the overactive system is going to be on that autoimmune side. Mm-hmm. And then an underactive, you have the risk of infection.
Yeah, exactly. So I like to think of the immune system as kind of like a spectrum, where on one end we have a really underactive immune system where we see, you know, frequent colds and flus or frequent infections, or difficulties clearing those infections. Obviously, from like a pathological standpoint, we're seeing things like HIV and AIDS being on that end of the system, where again, you can't mount an effective immune response. Also, like cancer might be on that end as well, where you have a dysregulated or inactive immune system to like cell regulation. And then on the completely opposite end of the spectrum, where we have an overactive immune system, we're seeing things like allergies, we're seeing autoimmune conditions like lupus or celiac disease or Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Again, lots of different conditions on that end of the scale. So we're looking to try and, again, find that Goldilocks position like in the middle.
You had mentioned adaptogenic herbs. What is an adaptogenic herb?
So an adaptogen brings the body into balance, or what we call homeostasis. So adaptogen is adapt. So the ability to adapt to, and again, more specifically, probably stress. And stress, I think we kind of have the connotation of like stresses where I'm really busy at work, but stress from a physiological standpoint is any deviation away from homeostasis or balance. So an adaptogen brings the body back into balance or homeostasis. Now, we mostly associate adaptogens with working on cortisol, which is one of our primary stress hormones. And then some definitions will actually include the bringing balance to the immune system as being part of the criteria for being an adaptogen. So while a lot of adaptogens are working on cortisol, I would say when we work on cortisol or one of that main stress hormones, we actually get a secondary benefit of supporting the immune system in and of itself, right? So if we regulate cortisol, secondarily will have a positive impact on the immune system. Now, there are adaptogens that have a particular immune affinity. When I talk about herbs, I like to talk about tissue specificity or affinity for those herbs. So we do have a subclass of adaptogens called immune adaptogens or immune tonics. Again, that arguably all adaptogens have some effect on the immune system, but again, these ones have a particular affinity for the immune system, including supporting specific immune cells.
So the product Deep Immune has incorporated some of those immune adaptogens. Can you go through some of those and describe them to us?
Yeah, absolutely. So astragalus, which some people might know even as a single ingredient, is a really fantastic immune adaptogen. Now, astragalus has also been used in combination with codeinopsis quite historically through like traditional Chinese medicine. So oftentimes astragalus and codeinopsis are used together in being an immunomodulator or what we call an immune tonic. And those are both present in the Deep Immune original. Also from the Deep Immune kids, that's the primary immune adaptogens that we're using, is the astragalus and codeinopsis, because the kids version is a bit more of a simplified formula. Siberian ginseng definitely has an effect on cortisol, and we mostly associate it with cortisol, but a huge immune tonic or immunomodulator, and definitely like bringing some strength to the immune system as well, again, supporting production of particular immune cells. Reishi, a fantastic medicinal mushroom where we get incorporation of both polysaccharides or sugar chains called beta-D-glucan, but also different components called triterpene saponins that look to create immunomodulation or balancing within the immune system, and also an immune tonic. Schisandra is also an adaptogen as well, and it also has a bit of an affinity for the lung, so it is in itself a lung tonic, actually, as is licorice. So licorice is a really great lung tonic, one of my favorite adaptogens or immune adaptogens, and uniquely, licorice is also antiviral. I think there's a lot of products or people who are claiming herbs to be antiviral, but there are very, very few true antiviral herbs. They're touted as being antiviral because they strengthen the immune system and the immune system reacts to the virus, whereas licorice is like a true antiviral because it actually works on components of viral replication versus like just stimulating or supporting the immune system, that it then in and of itself, the immune system is antiviral. We do also have a licorice-free version of Deep Immune as well, in case for whatever reason somebody is contraindicated from taking licorice. Certain blood pressure medications or heart issues, again, on our labels, we do talk about contraindications or cautions of using any of these herbs. And then ligustrum and white attractaloides are also really fantastic in immunomodulators or deep immune stimulants. Now, I think when we talk about all of these, each individual herbs, they have, you know, benefits for the immune system. But what I'd say is very unique about Deep Immune is that it's kind of like the combination or the whole is stronger than the sum of its parts, right? Or formulation is actually stronger. And this was actually done in a study at UBC where they actually tested the immune implications of Deep Immune. and said that the combination actually accesses different cells or different components of the immune system, which actually creates a more robust effect.
Doctor, let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, let's continue our conversation on strengthening our immune system.
Sounds great.